Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. Kerry Stevenson bringing you the fortnightly update with the Truth Bomb Tony fortnightly update. Tony Lecantro, Alto Capital, great to have you back on Small Caps. It's the fortnightly catch-up. What's happening in your world, my friend?
Oh, I love your enthusiasm, Kerry. And thanks to everyone who makes some positive comments or negative comments on what we do.
Just comments are good.
Yeah, I don't go in and respond because otherwise I won't have a life. But, geez, it is boring as at the moment. I'm just not putting through much volume at all in our stocks. It's just one of those times that I've seen over my 23 years of advising that you simply have to get through. And a lack of enthusiasm and a lower share price, people become very despondent and they're not really interested in going in and buying. They start to question the fundamentals, regardless of how good they are. But I've noted that in our stocks, which I think are all fundamentally sound, that prices have certainly come off or are drifting sideways. And I made mention to my clients today about a mini capitulation. And this will hit the more illiquid stocks, where selling will come in, the market depth on the buy side will look terrible, and that will cause others to sell and hit that depth, and then selling begets further selling. And those that got the stock at a lower price might like to take a quick flip. So the recovery process does take some time. And the other impact with my clients, which I refer to as a mini economy, is that we're pretty much fully invested. So right, until we have something that goes for a bit of a dash, our hands are tied at the moment. I do have a small inflow of new clients, so we'll go in and pick up some stock. But one of the key points that I reiterate to clients is DTBE, which is the distance to break even. And if you buy stock at 20, it drops to 18 cents. You know, it's not the end of the world because a lot of the IPOs are starting to come on at par or at a discount, but we're there for the high risk, high reward, either drilling or biotech. And if that's successful, it's going to shoot past whatever you paid for it or that ceiling you put on the stock. So a lot of factors at play that are contributing to this negativity, boredom, lethargy, and people are giving up hope and selling for the sake of selling. And when the pip traders come in on a great announcement, hey, guess what? There's no follow through. They have to stick to their discipline, close their positions out, and some of the stocks actually end up lower. So in a way, it's a good time to buy, but not many can buy during these times, unfortunately.
Well, on that happy note, ladies and gentlemen, I did start this off with a lot of fun and energy. I don't know about you guys, but slightly depressed. But I actually think, you know, it's interesting. You said you've seen this before. It's not like this is anything new, this sort of capitulation and despondency and all that sort of stuff. But I look at it as, and in fact, some of the best investors that I speak to globally turn around and say, you know, the time to buy, if you have funds, is when everybody else is despondent and isn't buying. And because if the fundamentals are there, and some of the stocks we'll go over in a minute that you liked, Tony, you know, if the fundamentals, nothing's changed. It's just the psychology, which we've spoken about before, the psychology of the investors is just sitting back going, oh, well, I can't be bothered to do anything. So what's the catalyst for change, do you think? Is it time, or is there going to be something that's going to rattle the market? And there's talk as well of the market having a little bit of a pullback. you know, there's a few chatters out there.
Well, you can't tiptoe through the tulips, as I like to call it. The indices have been going up. I think there was a time there we had 5 down days in a row.
Yeah.
But the major indices are, I believe, overvalued on a historical basis. But what I think has spooked speculators is that a lot of these stocks will throw a tantrum against the ASX 200 or the Dow Jones S&P 500. So these companies are going to have their technical breakdowns along the way, and it's not market related, it's stock related. But it's hard. The psychology really, at times, you've got to go against your emotions.
Absolutely.
When prices drop, the lack of interest, it's astounding. I just can't believe it. And the lethargy, I mean, my phone calls are still right down. I'm not putting through many orders because we are set, I believe, in the right stocks at the right price. And you can have all these positive announcements and they actually go in the good news bank, and eventually any company I've had with good fundamentals, good management, tends to deliver, and at times they'll actually overshoot to the upside.
Yeah.
So one of the, now there are some catalysts, and that could be a big discovery that causes a neurology bubble, which we've seen throughout the years, like a geological province, and people will buy stocks nearby, remembering that mine sites don't share tennis courts and cafeterias. So, you know, sometimes it's good to be a long strike. You know, it could be a couple hundred kilometres away, but you're not going to see mines on top of each other, literally. So that could be a catalyst or a major breakthrough in the biotech sector. But we do have some reasonably warm sectors such as CAR-T. You know, some, there has been success on the exploration front from a number of companies. But what we need to see is a return to the green-eyed monster, greed. Once people start to feel a little bit more excited, then greed and stupidity takes over and they'll start paying stupid prices for stuff. So, yeah, we do have a bit of a way to go. What we're seeing in the small cap sector, it's going to take time to work through. What I say to people, look, just I'll sit here behind the screen and babysit the stocks for you. Please go play golf or basically get a bloody life, because refreshing your screen every couple of minutes is not going to get you anywhere. And don't be despondent when someone sells a stock down a couple of cents on bugger all volume, because I'm seeing in some of our stocks, it's less than 1,000 shares that is dragging things down.
Wow. So, okay.
Yeah, and it's common. These market depths in the more illiquid stocks are going to look quite wide. But again, it is a great buying opportunity if you've got the money. But what I'm saying to new clients is these stocks could get a little bit cheaper, but as long as you buy, you're never going to buy at the absolute bottom and you're never going to sell at the absolute top, but close enough is good enough.
All right. I agree with that. I've got a few other questions to ask you, but did you want to comment on some of the things that you're looking at, either commodity-wise or specific stocks, Tony?
For sure. I tend to block out all the noise and I don't try and forecast commodity prices at all. I just focus on the companies. So what I've done is become insulated with the companies I have a fair amount of confidence on and from my discussions with management. So currently what really is exciting me is the prospects of a company like Alta Zinc, which has a zinc project in northern Italy.
Yeah.
Well, it's close to zinc smelters. It's close to Europe. They did come out with a sensational resource upgrade. The stock ran to 10. Then suddenly it's back in the sevens. So Garrett Harris, I have a lot of faith in. He's a great leader of that company. He presents well. And I think that's a stock that has a set out pathway to getting into production. But again, you're going to have to be patient. But the alternative is you can buy a lot of rubbish and lose 80% of your 80% plus of your investment. And the company has no fundamentals other than a bandwagon with some broken wheels. So that's one I'm looking at. Another one I'm very enthusiastic on is proteomics. Now that they have a predictive ProMarker D test for chronic kidney disease associated with diabetes. And that test, the science has been proven. So now they're looking at a sales exercise to get this test out into the health systems around the world. They are working on a test for endometriosis, which we know is a major problem with women. So to me, that is a lower risk speculative opportunity. I know that's a bit of an oxymoron, but sometimes you just have to now not buy absolute rubbish in the hope it goes higher. You really have to build a portfolio, a speculative portfolio with solid foundations. And one of my stocks, which just went under had a mini capitulation, was Narada. Yeah, holding nicely around 30. Then the latest placement was 26 cents and suddenly there's no market depth. So it gets belted into the next postcode down to 24 cents. But the cholesterol results in the specialized mouse model were sensational. 65% reduction in cholesterol with their inhibitor, over 40% with that inhibitor on its own. And I think, you know, cholesterol isn't going to go away in a hurry. Nope. And they also have the traumatic brain injury program as well with the Walter Reed Institute in the US, the military institute in the US. So that's another one I've been buying. One of the companies I floated, Exapharm, had its own dummy spit as well. Exosomes, you know, a lack of news. People start to lose faith, down to 42 cents, currently trading around 47. Again, they have webinars which are worth catching up on, but these thinly traded biotech stocks are going to have some nasty breakdowns along the way, and a company can look technically sick all the way up. And I still maintain the faith in Allumin. I think that they have the management team to really deliver on a exploration and or acquisition strategy. So they're trading still around 17 cents. Peter Lebwidge at Mako Gold has delivered the highest grades from the Chaga prospect in Cote d'Ivoire. To me, that looks like a great gold growth story, even though it is going to take some time. And so they're the key ones that I'm looking at the moment. I think another one, Stavely, around 40 cents is too cheap.
Yeah, crazy.
That's been under a lot of pressure. That ran to $1.42 on those amazing copper hits in Victoria, and just is struggling at the moment. But I think the market cap, just over $100 million, isn't too demanding. They are going to be working on a resource at the Kaylee Lode, and the porphyry hunt is still alive and well. Then, you know, you've got your Hero Zero stocks. I was involved.
Before you go on to those, yep. Tony, sorry, with Stavely, what's been the catalyst? What's the pressure there? Because it's a good story. It's, you know, that these are smart management, know what they're doing. Well, what do you see as the pressure that's given it, that what's put it under this sort of price pressure?
Well, it's been a combination of some volatility in the copper price combined with some short selling and a technical breakdown. So you have the perfect storm there of downside. They do have some access issues with the farm they want to get into. That might occur later in the year. So always when, you know, you see a bit of price weakness, the negative aspects always tend to come to the fore. And as I keep saying, selling begets further selling pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very true. But as you said just earlier, if it's a good company with strong management, good fundamentals, it's not a bad time to have a good, strong look at it. And some of these other ones that you've mentioned, like Alta Zinc, but, you know, Alta Zinc, it's got smelters around it, 7 cents, good management, a good future. But people have got to have patience, and some people don't have patience. They want to in and out, and they want a quick buck.
Yeah, again, it gets back to the psychology of the market. But what can overcome a crappy market is a major discovery. And I've seen this way back to the days when Minotaur Gold drilled into Prominent Hill. The market was crap. Same thing happened when Mark Bennett drilled into Nova Bollinger.
That's true. That's true. So, and then that gives some excitement. But let me ask you this. What would you say to people listening right now is how should they set themselves up right now for the next phase of growth?
You've got to pick fundamentally sound companies that aren't far off their lows or have appreciated only moderately on good news. It's a bit of a challenging market, and it's not easy to get the instinct, to get the feel for some of these companies. I've been doing it for so long. I look at everything in a company, break it down, and then it gives you that feeling that, hey, this could be something special, even though a lot of speculators aren't going to be attracted to it because they're slow growers. But the only way to make serious money over the longer term in this sector is to buy those companies. Sometimes you'll buy a company that jumps on a bandwagon and goes through the roof. But one of the greatest sayings is never mistake a bull market for brains.
Yeah, that's it. I wanted a Tonyism before we finished up. So we finally get a Tonyism, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Which is nice to see. So a lot of people, as I said earlier, look at this as a buying opportunity. I always say to people, look, if the market's off a little bit, I mean, have a look at March last year when the market crapped itself, and a lot of people that went in and bought at that point because they, you know, nothing had fundamentally changed. It's just people were spooked on coronavirus. A lot of people made a lot of money at that point in time. Do you think it hasn't had that sort of 30% pullback, but do you think that now's a good time for people to potentially set themselves up for wins further down the track?
I think you've got to really have a crack, because yeah, major indices and markets can correct from any level. Just because a market is near an all-time high, yeah, sure, there's the potential for a decent correction, but markets can go from being fairly valued to undervalued, or from undervalued to being hideously undervalued. And if you keep waiting for the perfect time, chances are when markets are low, you're going to be that lethargic and downtrodden that you're not going to buy anything. So, you know, apart from a six-pack or something to get over the depressive side of the bloody markets. So, look, I don't think there's a wrong time to buy the right company, but you've just got to be fully aware of the risks involved, the fact that some of your beloved stocks will halve. And, you know, I often quote Kamal to myself, you know, why are people so unkind? Because what you're dealing with is people that don't understand the stock, don't understand the potential, and are there to simply dick around to try and make some pocket money.
Yeah, that's true, just to make some pocket money. Look, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't understand, Tony said it a minute ago, he's been in this industry for 23 years. He does the research. I don't know whether you're taking on clients. I'm not going to even ask that at the moment. But, Tony, if people do want to get a hold of you, are you happy to take emails or you know, people got questions?
I actually got one last week where someone wrote to me and said, oh, finally, you're dissuading people to contact you. The spikes or the camouflage process is certainly working. But what I tried to say to people, look, you know, there's ways to learn, there's ways to keep your transaction costs down. You know, you've got to start looking above $10,000 really to make it work with me, even though if the process is simple, if we can be set up, you know, I look at that amount and would say three stocks. But then I've got to pick the best three out of 20 companies I know intimately. And, you know, you might make a cracker for a year, but one of the longer term benefits of being with me is that I run a lot of webinars. Yeah. I send a lot of emails. Like, I just recorded a client update. Well, I had to do it twice this morning where I just babble on for 15 to 20 minutes and run through each company. And to me, it's all about getting educated, because I'm 50 now, so I'm not going to be doing this forever, and people need to learn for themselves. So, if people contact me, you know, write more than a line, let's see what we can do. But I'll always eventually get in touch to discuss if I'm suitable. But there's always avenues for people that want to start with much smaller portions to do the research and go in and buy the stocks and learn from there, which is what I did when I started in the early 90s. And sadly, often if you go at it by yourself, you could lose money for 4 to 5 years. So yuck.
And I guess the comment is, don't be a lazy investor. Either have somebody like Tony on your side, or do your own research. Don't be a lazy investor. Don't be a social media investor. Do the work to get the returns. Tony, the last word is with you.
Well, I like it how you let me have the last word. I guess the moral of the story is that small companies still become bigger ones, no matter what you're hearing, no matter what's happening. I know the world's being taken over by TikTok influencers and all this rubbish. That will dissipate. Stick to the fundamentals, as sometimes good things take time, to steal a quote from that classic movie Wall Street.
Tony Licantro, always fabulous to have our fortnightly update. I'll see you in another 14 days. Thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
As always, Kerry, a pleasure, and I look forward to it.